Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if there is or not.
I don't know if there's a black and white answer.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know how.
Give us some men who know the truth. And who will declare the truth? And who will stand with Athanasius and Polycarp and Calvin and Luther and Whitfield and Edwards? And who will declare from the housetops that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Guess what we're going to talk about? This is Wretched Radio. Another Protestant denomination has bitten the dust. The United Methodist Convention has gone on record as being fully apostate. They voted overwhelmingly to start ordaining and marrying LGBTQ people. A resounding victory, 692 to 51. Wow! This wasn't even close. They didn't even need to cheat for this election. It was overwhelming, and one can't help but look back at the recent history of the UMC and say, wow, somebody was being very strategic inside of that Protestant denomination. The conference that just wrapped up was supposed to take place 2 years ago, but they postponed it because, well, this subject is so contentious. We just need some time. Well, during that time, almost 8,000 more conservative UMC churches said adios, which left 51 people to say, that ain't biblical. It was overwhelming. It appears to have been a very strategic chess game that was played. And the UMC now, tragically, has bitten the dust. But while we mourn the loss of what was an Orthodox, small O Orthodox denomination, we can be happy that almost 8,000 churches said, no, the Bible is too clear on this subject. I wish they thought it was that clear on the subject of ordaining women. But there's also a lesson to be learned for the Southern Baptist Convention. Their conference is coming up. And this issue is a hot button. It is absolutely on the agenda in the Southern Baptist Convention. You'll recall at the last two conferences for the SBC, Rick Warren leading the charge to ordain women, it was resoundingly, there's both the R and the S in the word right there, defeated. But the liberals never stop. May I, if you happen to be a liberal, doubt it, and you're listening, may I make a request? Go start your own denomination. I know you need a cause. I know that deconstruction is like a big deal, but could you just leave the conservative institutions alone? Go build your own. Go don't change and wreck everything. Go start something, but there's a problem. Very few people join onto a cause that is now causeless. The cause for so many inside of the UMC has been LGBTQ. Now that that is done, what will be the next? What else are we going to deconstruct? Maybe God himself. Oh, yeah, that's already started to happen. When we set forth rules to make sure that nobody uses masculine pronouns when talking about God. This was the preamble to the UMC conference. This is a room full of delegates, pastors, bishops at the UMC. Did I mention that stands for United Methodist Church? Here were the rules for the conference, and it sounds fully woke. Because it is.
The Interagency Sexual Ethics Task Force of the United Methodist Church, which what? Consists of members from across the general agencies and union.
Wait. What? This, I understand this at a liberal university. Well, that's kind of redundant. I understand this in a secular organization.
The Interagency Sexual Ethics Task Force of the United Methodist Church.
Interagency Sexual Task Force. Alrighty.
Which consists of members from across the general agencies and annual conferences.
Except Africa.
Has created a code of conduct for this general conference with the following guiding principles for use in holy conferencing. Love.
Justice.
Justice.
Kindness.
Accountability.
Integrity.
Respect.
Oh!
Dignity. Remember, friends, monitoring is not policing. It is challenging us to have self-awareness and inviting us to care for others.
I do believe that's the very definition of policing, but...
In addition to these guiding principles, be mindful of the following boundaries.
Personal space.
What?
We are a diverse body with differing levels of comfort in social situations. As we recall during COVID-19 protocols, we learned the concept of social distancing.
Please forgive me for just a moment. Hey, Jimmy?
Yes?
I know you're in another room, but back off!
I'm sorry.
You're inside of my person. You're making me feel uncomfortable. I have a confession to make. When I saw this when the conference began, I really did not realize how woke the UMC was. We knew, we had reports, but they were all on paper. When you see the women in their rainbow clothes dancing around with ribbons, you know, basically singing Helen Reddy anthems, you know, it's like, whoa, what in the world is going on here? And it just day after day at the convention just revealed, whoa. This is well orchestrated, and the UMC, upon the abandonment of almost 8,000 churches, it's not even a church anymore. This isn't Christian. This isn't anything remotely near biblical.
Personal space can cause others to feel concerns for safety or feel intimidated. Honor each other's personal space.
Okay.
Do not touch another person without permission, including hugging.
No, don't. What do we do with holy kisses? Are you kidding? They'd cart them off to jail.
Language. Be respectful of the choice of language that is used, including avoiding exclusively male language for God.
Boom. The end. We're done. Party's over. I don't need the vote. That's... The handwriting was on the wall, and it wasn't in a foreign language. This was clear for all to see.
Be conscious of inferred power dynamics. For example, if titles are used for one group of people, they should be used for everyone. Violent language, threats, gestures, harassment, sexualized language, or innuendo is never allowed and will not be tolerated.
Whoa, that sure was authoritative, wasn't it? Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy.
Yes.
When you're in there, don't stab Winnie in the eye.
Oh, I'm not.
Like that priest down in Australia. No, Winnie the dog is here. Don't stab Winnie. Don't. It won't be tolerated, Jimmy.
Okay.
No dog eye stabbing. Like this is a necessary lecture at a church conference? Fully woke. What happened to the UMC? Unfortunately, the seeds were planted at its founding. John Wesley himself, he was raised underneath a very strong woman. If you've ever want to read something that'll cross your eyes and not sound very current, the parenting of Susanna Wesley, woo! She was tough, and it appears that John was influenced by that because he made a defense of women preaching already. John Wesley, he was in favor of some women. They had to have, I believe there were two criteria. They had to have a really special calling that wow, they've got such a gifting that it can't be denied, or God told them. That would be a continuationist view, but that seed was planted at its inception. It wasn't until the 50s that the UMC started ordaining women. And that is when the slide really began to accelerate. If you can interpret a Bible verse so radically differently than what it obviously says, then the very same tactics that you use to undermine clear authority can be used regarding LGBTQ. And so it is. That is precisely what we saw at the UMC conference. We also saw a little something that we visited here called standpoint hermeneutics. Do you remember this phrase? It sounds something like this. This is a bishop in the UMC after the victory.
And the other part about this legislation and what was actually approved is that the General Conference has said, we trust our congregations. We trust our clergy to discern how they will be in ministry with LGBTQ plus persons in their communities and in their congregations.
Boom. There it is. So you need to figure out as a local church how to wiggle the Bible around to make it work for people of a particular standpoint. This would be as ridiculous as saying, you know what? I believe that my pinky is actually a tennis racket. That's what I believe. Now, minister to me. Reshape Christianity for me, because we've got to conform the Bible into people's image. Tragic day? Sure. Predictable day? Yeah. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm so excited about this.
That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Okay, so imagine that you're inside of a maze, and every corner that you take, there's another wall, there's another obstacle. And you finally get to the point of frustration where you think you're never going to get out. But then imagine a different scenario. You're still inside that maze, but every corner you take is a guide who has a flashlight and is saying, nope, that's the right way to go. And in that scenario, we welcome you to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. And whether you've listened or not, you'll realize really quickly it's not your everyday radio show. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford takes issues that many, if not all of us, struggle with, and it matches them up to hope and healing through the pages of the Bible. It is genuinely an entirely new perspective. New episodes drop every Saturday morning in your favorite podcast spot or at transformed.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How in the world did they get here? This is Wretched Radio.
What is that?
Oh, that's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. Screaming for its life, being twisted and contorted, and feeling the pain of really bad hermeneutics. What is 1 Corinthians 9:22. It is a verse that has been ripped out of its context to be used to turn church into any sort of shenanigan that we think will gather a crowd. It is being used to contort and pervert the Bible into stating the very opposite of what it clearly states and has been clearly understood for millennia. The United Methodist Church, they have put on record overwhelmingly that they no longer have any regard for the Bible. That's what this, there's a lot of issues having affirmed that they can now ordain and marry LGBTQ people. This is brazen. It is as flagrant as it can possibly be. And the issue that we see is not the issue that brought us here. The issue is bibliology. Now, you could argue ecclesiology, that they have absolutely no idea what the church is about. I would actually say they have no idea what Christianity is about. Seriously, they have no idea at its core what it's about. And you can read some of their writings and go, well, look, they've got that Jesus Christ died, shed his blood. They probably state it's for oopses and not for sins. But they don't get it. They don't get it that God rules and God reigns and God is going to have a day in court and he is going to judge the world in righteousness. And if I could just take a wild diversion for a moment because, well, I haven't taken my meds today. I don't actually have any meds. The point is, the ADH, whatever it's called, sometimes kicks in. Russell Brand is the hot subject these days in evangelicalism. And I am hopeful that the man actually has been regenerated. Time will tell. I don't think we should either be affirmers or just complete wet blankets. I think that we want anybody to get saved. Everybody to get saved. That's what we desire. And he has been saying some things that are actually pretty good. For instance, before he got baptized, he said that he has surrendered to Christ. Wow, that's great language, isn't it? But he's also talked about his understanding of Jesus, how his musing of the world keeps bringing him back to Christ, that everything that he's experiencing it somehow has tentacles in Jesus Christ. It's like, whoa, he spoke on that. Oh, he dealt with that subject. Oh, the reason that we're this way today is because he said that. And that's all true, and that is all good stuff. Even Richard Dawkins is starting to comprehend that. Wait a second. The things that I enjoy are all from Christianity. So he calls himself a cultural Christian because he now realizes, after he's been about the business of undermining Western civilization, that, whoa, Christianity really provided me the ability to speak like a knucklehead for so long. And it's provided all of the things that we enjoy as human beings. Now it's being undermined, and he's seeing that Islam is starting to fill the hole, and he ain't digging that concept. He's even learning that Christianity has indeed impacted everything. And Russell Brand has come to that conclusion, and now he got baptized, and now he's making a profession of faith. But I bring it up in this context of the UMC because I don't hear him saying that he repented and trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that is why he put his trust in Jesus Christ, because God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And I know that I will be found wanting and that God will rightly damn me. But God is rich in mercy, and he sent his son to save me. That's what Christianity is about. I truly do hope that Russell Brand gets that. Most of these people at the UMC church or conference, absolutely oblivious, no idea. And they got here because they thought that the Bible was a malleable book that you can just contort into our image. Would like to share with you again the comments from this bishop, because this is where I think we need to put a stake in the ground. It's bibliology. Listen again to this bishop standing on the conference floor next to a woman who is clearly LGBTQ as he goes about the business of massacring scripture to arrive at the conclusion that local churches can make whatever theological decisions need to be rendered based on their context.
And the other part about this legislation and what was actually approved is that the General Conference has said, we trust our congregations, we trust our clergy to discern how they will be in ministry with LGBTQ plus persons in their communities and in their congregations.
Swap one sin for another. Can you imagine the subject were slavery? We trust the local congregations to make decisions in their context, of course, as to whether or not a people should be allowed to own other human beings. Everybody would go, What are you, bonkers? Yeah, I mean, this is bonkers because it's detached. It's untethered from the Bible.
That each of us recognizes that context is important.
This is a contextual hermeneutic. It is standpoint theory. You got to make the Bible say what makes that person happy. And by the way, I would love to talk to this fellow and say, and how many of us get to render different verdicts on verses? Are there any verses that are up for grabs? What about the deity of Jesus Christ? What about murder? Hey, everybody needs to decide in their own context. This is nonsense. It is a contextualized version of Christianity. This is historically, I was just studying Manichaeanism. This was there was a Persian prophet named Mani, which was also the husband of Shelley Winters in the Poseidon Adventure. And if you get that reference, then you are as pathetic as I am.
I didn't get it. I'm not pathetic.
Mani. That's my impression of Shirley Winters. That's my best impression, frankly. My Deepak Chopra sometimes can be pretty good. But my Shelley Winters, when she's dying of a heart attack, having swum through the tunnel to rescue the people that are trying to escape with, I believe he was a Methodist pastor, Gene Hackman, who swore a lot. When she's dying in the arms of her husband, Manny, she says, Manny! And she let out the sound. You know the sound that everybody makes when they're passing. Manny was a prophet in Persia. And what did he do? He took Christianity, he took Zoroastrianism, and he just made a hybrid, blended it, molded it, and it caught on. By the way, Augustine, or Augustine if you prefer, he was rather deferential toward it before he got saved. This is nothing new. Taking the Bible with a low view of its authority and turning it into whatever you want to for those people.
And how we continue to work with all people of different understandings and different beliefs in our congregations and in our communities is...
All beliefs? So Christianity is for Muslims, No, I mean, practicing. This is such a dog's breakfast.
What's critical to us.
Yeah.
So today is a day of grace. It's a day of love and action.
No.
It's a day in which we celebrate.
Morning.
And we
no.
give thanks for all of those who have been praying for General Conference and all the good work that's being done by the delegates. Thank you, and may God bless you all.
Oh, I prefer you didn't use his name. Very pleasant fellow. But if he was behind this strategy to stall the conference for 2 years so that all of the conservatives are gone, so that those people who would have been deemed outside of societal norms are now the centerpiece of the denomination and running it, these aren't nice people. Southern Baptists, your convention's coming. Don't think that progressives aren't in your midst. Don't think for a second that the camel's nose, which is feminism, isn't desiring to get inside of your tent. And believe me, once it does, you crack open the door an inch and feminism will kick it down. And the same hermeneutic, the mangling of the Bible that brought you to the ordination of women will bring you to the day when you join the UMC in ordaining and marrying LGBTQ people. Wow. This is Wretched Radio.